Big Brothers Big Sisters needs your help. There's a waiting list of more than 50 children hoping for a mentor. It's just a few hours a month. Be a mentor. Become a big. Visit Big Brothers Big Sisters Northeast Florida and click on Be a Big.
438, 437, 436. Can the Jaguars make something happen? Brunell under center. Sends Keenan in motion from the near to the far side. He'll take the snap and drop back to throw. Pressure coming. He's jumping out to the near side. Pump action. Cuts across the 50. Breaks a tackle at the 45. He's at the 40. Mark Brunell running to the far sideline. Turns the corner. 35-30. Down to the 25. An inside move. Leaping for the 21. Mark Brunell with a masterful run of 29 yards. And the clock continues to run.
Here's the game, ladies and gentlemen. With no timeouts left, the Jaguars will not be able to stop the clock. Gerard barks out the signals in the shotgun. Takes the snap. Drops. Now he's going to run. And David's going to get in and more. He's at the 25-yard line. Stays on his feet. 20. There he goes. 15. And he's down at the 10. How about that one?
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Michael, Tony Smith,
Tony,
and David Garrard.
Mr. David!
All right. Good morning, everybody. I love it when I know a guy that Emmanuel doesn't know. Tony.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't get to introduce him to anybody because he knows everybody, but he didn't know David Garrard firsthand anyway, other than by his sterling reputation. DG is back in the house. What's up, man?
Man, it is good to be back in the building. I'm telling you, and it is good to have a great hype man like E.T.
You saw it behind the scenes, right? You heard a little, you get a little bit filtered through on the airwaves, but E.T. gets warmed up a couple minutes before we go on the air. And
I love that
we're
energy,
ready to
man.
Go, man.
I love it.
I did a couple of push-ups. Greatness was in the building, and
some ab crunches. You got a few crunches in there.
A couple of twists. You know what I'm saying? Come on, somebody.
How's your workout game? You're looking stout as always.
Yeah, I wish it was because of lifting weights. It is.
Is that
lifting
right?
Forks.
Love it.
But it's a great workout. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, it is. It is a fantastic workout. You're just telling us one of your children, who's 13 right now, is
5'11"? Yeah.
5'11". Yeah.
255.
Yeah. He's stolen all my clothes. He's wearing my size 13 shoe.
Wow.
And it's going to be quickly out of the 13 shoe.
Wow. Well, you were the beard truck. So
yeah.
What is he? Does he have a nickname yet?
He'd probably be Taco Truck.
Okay. And the taco
truck. He wants to have a taco stand at some point. So.
Well, what kid doesn't?
Really? I know.
You know?
True.
That's amazing.
True.
It's good to see you, man. Just tell folks. Family life is good, right?
Yeah.
How's everything with you
these
days?
Yeah, everything's good down on the farm, you know, in St. Johns County, and loving that life. It's a little bit of a haul to get back up here to Jacksonville.
Hey, welcome to the club.
Well, yeah, I know, exactly. We do it a few times a week for the kids. They're still in school up here, you know, so. But everybody's enjoying it. You know, we have no complaints.
That pesky school, man, you know.
Yeah.
You just can't avoid it. But we were just talking a few minutes ago before we came on. It's an exciting time for the Jaguars.
Man, it is a very exciting time. When the Jets went ahead and won that game, I said, wow. If we don't sit everybody on the bench to just get this number one pick.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that it is a organization-changing situation. You know, for a lot of years, not being very good to, you know, getting a guy like Urban Meyer to come here. Who everybody was trying to get off of TV, and to have a chance to get somebody like Trevor Lawrence, who I think is, you know, the same kind of pedigree as, you know, your Drew Brees, your Luck, those guys, you know. So he's going to be a guy that I feel like is going to be solid for a number of years. I mean, probably 10 years at least.
I'm hoping exceptional.
Yeah, it's the opportunity is incredible. And I know, Dave, that look, you're one of the guys who played here, stayed here, kind of became a fan, you know, after you left the organization. Your family is being raised here in Jacksonville. You're in the stadium every week for home games. Like, you are a member of the fan base. Can you remember since you were tired? You know, having a moment like, oh, they might get the number one pick. Has there been anything more exciting for you than that since?
No, there really hasn't. And it's not just getting the number one pick, because you can get the number one pick and, you know, it's a toss-up between so many guys. But this year, it is a generational type quarterback. You know, a guy like when, like I said, when John Elway was coming out, when Peyton Manning was coming out. And, you know, there's still those Jaguar fans that are still not able to accept that this is something that can be great. Because they've had so many years of thinking the team is there and it not really being that, it doesn't turn out to be that way. So they're nitpicking it. They're thinking, well, now he's getting shoulder surgery and that just tells you something's wrong. And you guys, just don't keep wallowing in just pity. Look, rise above. Like E.T. with that energy.
Come on, somebody.
You know? So I just think once everything falls into place and he's on the field, it's gonna be a very exciting time.
Have you watched a lot of Clemson over the last few years?
I mean, I watched.
Who hasn't?
I watch football, and they're always on, and they've been good for a while now. So, yeah, I love Dabo Sweeney, the way that he, you know, loves his guys, and to see. I remember when what was the kid that Trevor came in for? And
Kelly Bryant.
I remember that, and I was kind of rooting for Kelly Bryant because I didn't know who Trevor was.
Sure.
You know, I heard he was a pretty decent quarterback, but it's hard to step in as a freshman and play well. And then when he did, it's like, oh, wow, okay. And, you know, like I said, there's these people out there that want to try to pick on everything. Well, what happened to him in the big games, you know, the last two? And it's like, well, you know, I don't know.
The last one, by the way, he threw for 400 yards. And two touchdowns, you know.
Can pick yourself up off the ground that many times and get hit that many times in a game and still get out there and complete passes is a big testament to him. Now, that might be every game this upcoming year.
Easy now.
For him. I mean, I'm just saying, you're going to get hit. You're not going to have all those studs in front of you. And you're going to have I think our offensive line is pretty decent. I think our receivers are pretty good. I would love to see them be able to get a tight end in the draft pretty early. But James Robinson, I think with all – this is a good place for him. We have free agency that will come into play. You got more draft picks that will come into play. I think it's going to set up to be better than what Joe Burrow landed in Cincinnati. That's my opinion.
You've been preaching tight end for years now. And they, yeah. I mean, I guess they tried to address it. We don't know with Josh Oliver, you know, in the third round a couple of years ago. Haven't seen him. I don't think you can count on that. If he does come in and, you know, he comes in and gives you something, I think you got to count it as a pleasant surprise.
Yeah,
right,
well,
now.
Keep swinging, you know.
Absolutely.
And then if he turns out to be something pretty good and you've drafted somebody that is already good, you know, why not have a couple tight ends that are amazing? And that helps a young quarterback. That safety blanket there in the middle of the field to, you know, get the ball out of his hands, and hopefully they can turn up and you know, make some big plays for him. But, yeah, you got to get someone where he's not having to throw outside wide all the time to get it to his playmakers.
All right, we're going to break it down with David Garrard over the course of the next hour and a half or so. Dave's going to stick around until about 11:30 this morning. Also popping in on the show, Hayes Carline is going to preview the first episode of the Trevor Cast, which is coming out on Thursday. Hayes Carline and Matt Hayes will do a 10-episode podcast series on every facet of Trevor Lawrence. You're loving him right now. We're going to push the boundaries of how much love we can shove upon you with this Trevor Cast series. So we'll do that with Hayes coming up in about 30 minutes as well. If you want to get in, if you got any questions for David Garrard, any comments, whatever, having to do with Jaguar football, his career, you're welcome to join the program. As always, at 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Got a couple of things. We'll look back at yesterday's question of the day, and we'll ask Dave this as well as we go along with the franchise tag window opening up today. Is it worth maybe overpaying Cam Robinson a little bit to have some security at the left tackle position with a franchise tag for 1 year? We'll talk about that today. And today's question of the day asks you, which Jaguar wide receiver is most likely to have the most receiving yards for the team this year? You only have three holdovers. So is it DJ Chark, Colin Johnson, Laviska Shenault, or would you project it to be somebody who's not on the roster presently, be that a free agent or a rookie addition to the team? You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at David Garrard 9, and at IME to the T.
Come on, somebody.
We're coming on. 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures with David Garrard in studio with Fat Tony and ET. I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Guys, been knocking away. Garrard steps up, fires, Mike Sims, Walker, knocked down.
Oh, he caught it! Oh, unbelievable! Mike Thomas, touchdown Jags! Ball game!
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Yeah, you probably remember that one. I remember that clear as day. There was so much, and you don't usually have this, but for whatever reason that day, there was so much Houston media crap talk going on in the press box. It was just snip, 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 snip.
They were just talking to you earlier this week with the gentleman we were on earlier this week.
Why do you even care? You know, you're the freaking media. What's the big deal? And to see their stunned face, I mean, they're packing up, you know, their iPads. Yeah. They probably weren't iPads back there. Their laptops and whatever they were packing up. And just to see the stunned faces, it was a beautiful, beautiful sight.
It's just one of the best plays in my whole football career. I've thrown a bunch of Hail Marys, but for that to be the only one that was caught, I mean, on a day to, you know, win the game, it still gives me chills, you know. And I threw it thinking, oh, don't intercept it. Let's just bat it down. Just go into overtime. And, man, for him to bat it down, I saw that and I thought, okay, good. But why is the crowd getting so loud? Oh, somebody caught it.
Well, you heard the call, right? I mean, what a crazy, crazy scene that was, and the way it worked out. You should try more of those type bat down plays. You know, Tony, everybody just goes to one spot and
just
they
make it part of the playbook.
Right. Why the jump ball, the bat down, with David Garrard leading the way right there. All right, Dave, Cam Robinson. Franchise tag window is open today. It goes until March 9th, so you don't have to make that decision today, but I'm sure the Jags have been thinking about it. What are you doing here? If you don't have Cam back, you don't know what the answer is at left tackle, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's worth roughly $14.5 million, which is approximately what the franchise tag will be for offensive linemen this year. What would you do?
Yeah, so I would sign him, and I'll tell you why. Unless you get somebody that you know is better from free agency, then I would sign him. I would sign him because we just tend to let a lot of our good to really good players go other places. He's going to get out on free agency, and somebody else is going to pick him up, and then, you know, we'll be watching him in the playoffs and thinking, "What? That was just our guy. He was just here, you know." And I think if you want to start, you know, creating a great culture around here, is keep the talent that you have, that you know you, that's really making some good strides. He's, 2 years out from his ACL injuries, 2 solid seasons. And you hear from a lot of guys that it takes about 2 years before you can kind of get all the demons out of your head about, you know, what was that? Am I okay? Oh, okay, I'm good. I'm good. You know, so to really get him back to playing the way that he knows he can play with the confidence, I think this would be a year that he would go into to really shine and showcase. So I would keep him, and I would franchise him.
All right. Well, I assumed then, and that was going to be the next point, that, you know, they may be trying to work out a longer-term deal. Or, you know, I even think it's in Cam Robinson's interest to do a short-term deal.
Yeah.
Because even if it is on the one-year franchise tag, because – the salary cap will be going back up again one day.
Yep.
COVID-19 is not going to be around forever. You know, they're going to get new TV deals that kick in. And when that happens, I don't know if Cam wants to be locked into a 3 or 4 year deal.
Yeah.
You know, necessarily.
I was just watching SportsCenter or something the other day, and they were saying a lot of agents are recommending to their players, we need to sign a short-term deal, mm-hmm. because – once the salary cap goes up, it's going to be ridiculous the amount of money that guys are getting, and your contract will be obsolete, you know, to almost null and void if you sign a long-term deal now. So guys are definitely thinking about that. And if you watch some of the way the quarterbacks have done it, you know, signing, getting franchised, and then they can't get franchised anymore and then go make this, you know, get this huge explosive deal. I just think for him, it's another good year where he can get paid really good, but to also be able to shine and show that he does deserve a long-term contract.
Yeah, it's a really interesting year from that perspective, with teams that are going to have to make hard decisions about kind of those guys that make up really the heart of your roster,
yeah,
right? Those kind of mid-tier players, what are we going to do? Can we afford to pay these guys what we wanted to pay them and have been able to, you know, for the past 10 years or so, but it's going to be a different kind of year in 2021. And long-term, I mean, you don't want to be the agent that's negotiating that bad deal in 2021 during the COVID year, where all of a sudden in 2022, when the cap explodes again and your guy's stuck on the hook for this five-year deal, like, what did you do to your guy? And look, as you know, Dave, the players talk, you know, so there's going to be pressure to not be the guy who takes the bad deal during the COVID year too.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, the money will sound phenomenal, but you just have to think what's around the corner another year from now. And so I think a lot of the guys will be trying to be smart. Now, if you're a guy that, you know, shine just enough and they're like, hey, we know you've got a lot of potential and they want to give you a decent contract, then you need to go ahead and jump on it, because you never know how your career can go. But for a guy who is more proven, these guys around the league, they definitely don't want to sign big deals this year. I mean, I would take
unless it's with Jacksonville.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, so you just got to be smart. You know, this is it's a business. It's your livelihood, and you know, you want to make sure that you can optimize your whole career, and usually that second deal is the one that, you know, you get the most on.
Sets you up, yep, big time. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in with David Garrard here on Jaguars Today. That is the easiest way to do it. Let's begin in Brazil with Cristiano checking in this morning with David Garrard. Good morning, Cristiano.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
We're doing well, buddy. What's on your mind?
Morning, Tony. Morning, David.
Good morning.
What's up?
I would just like to thank David for everything, but especially for that scramble in the playoffs against the Steelers.
You're welcome, my friend.
I think he's okay. You probably get that more than any other play.
That is definitely the play that I get the most on. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Cristiano. Yeah.
And I'd like to say I'm sorry Dennis Northcutt dropped that pass. It should have been us beating the Patriots.
I get that one the second most. Yeah, that was a tough pill to swallow. You know, we were definitely right there on their heels, chewing at their heels, ready to, you know, take them out that year in their perfect season until the Super Bowl.
Cristiano,
that's okay. Good thing.
Yeah, you got any questions or anything, bud?
No, I would just like to say this to David.
Well,
and say I'm so happy. I'm so happy about what's going on with us that I'm thinking about starting going like ET and just come on somebody and people over.
You can start the South American version of come on somebody, man. I think that's fine.
I like it.
Okay, that's it.
Thanks, Cristiano, we appreciate it, buddy. Good to hear from you, as always. There you go. Getting love from multiple continents this morning so far. Oh, by the way, speaking of love, congratulations, champ. All right. Dave Garrard, we have three fantasy leagues for Jaguars Today, generally every year, and you're usually, I think, right from the beginning, you've been in one of them every single year. We even just had two the first couple of seasons, and you've always played in them. With mixed success this year, you took home the title in the league you were in.
You know, the years prior, I had not been to any of the drafts.
You didn't. Didn't have a great record on attendance.
Yeah,
at the draft.
You know, I'm like, it's going to pick some good players. I'll be fine. And then I realized if I want to compete, I have to be a part of the draft.
We were all very pleasantly surprised that you're in there. We'll talk a little
smack. I actually was like looking at draft lineups and this is what he's saying, who you should get, and all that. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be prepared this time. I didn't expect it to lead me to a victory, but I'll take it.
Dave comes in. He's like, I didn't get a text.
I know.
I didn't get anything.
No love. Like,
nothing.
I had the little trophy with some confetti falling on my phone.
Yeah, that's ESPN provided that. We appreciate them. And, you know, we did briefly mention you on air as quickly as possible at a time we hoped you weren't listening.
So, well, you succeeded.
There you go. We got it. We snuck that one in. So what have you, like, how do you spend your spare time these days other than dominating in fantasy football?
Well, a lot of it is with the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dabbling into some real estate investing. You know, it's a great market out there right now. So really loving that. You know, I've been on a podcast. It's called Bigger Pockets. I'm sure some of your people out there have heard about it. But it just teaches you a lot about how to play the game of real estate and, you know, when to buy, when not to buy, all that kind of fun stuff. And, you know, I got my degree in construction management, so I've always wanted to build. And, you know, I should have been building before I had my gyms. Then I wouldn't have had any gyms. But that was a good lesson learned. And now I'm in a very happy place with
good.
The real estate. Yeah.
That's awesome. Great to hear it, man. So today we're talking about these receivers, among other things. What do you make of the group that they've got? They only have the three coming back. DJ Chark, Colin Johnson, Laviska Shenault, the latter two were rookies last year. Nobody else currently under contract.
Yeah.
They could bring back Keelan Cole potentially and obviously could make a big splash in free agency, go the draft route. How would you what do you think about the guys that they have, and how would you finish building out that roster?
Well, I'll tell you, I like all three of those guys. And the last guy, not Keelan Cole, but the rookie.
Colin Johnson?
Yeah. I didn't know who he was, and then I saw him making some plays there towards the end of the season, and I thought, man, that's a good size receiver that, you know, can catch the ball. And so with DJ and Laviskus, I really like Laviskus. I think he's so multi-dimensional to be able to hand to in the backfield, to do jet passes, and then he is so strong when he's running the ball. He looks like a running back when he gets the ball in his hand. You love that as a quarterback because you can just throw a 5-yard shallow cross and he turns it into 15-25. You know, he's not a burner or anything, but he gives you a lot of yak after the catch. And I think that's something, you know, that we've kind of lacked around here. Those guys that are real unique guys, you know, guys that can do a lot of things and a lot of different varieties. So I like Arthur, and I like Chark too. I think he is a one, but I think there's a better one that you could bring in, and he would shine even more because he doesn't have all the people, the coverages going to him, the best DB on him, you know, so that would make him even better as a receiver.
What type of receiver would you add to this mix? Like, I'm a fan of adding Allen Robinson if you'd want to make a return, right? Because I don't think they have that. I mean, I guess Colin Johnson is a big bodied guy, but I look
but
at
he's Allen. So young and you don't, you know, he hasn't quite got up to that level yet. He's that guy that can kind of find openings and, you know, you can hit him because not everybody's paying attention to him. He didn't have that name yet.
So better to add an Allen Robinson type or a smaller, shiftier, speedier type guy? Or does it matter to you?
I just think it's got to be somebody that doesn't matter. I think it's got to be somebody that you can always count on, somebody that you know will go up, make plays for you. Allen Robinson, I think, would be a great fit because he's, you know, a bigger, stronger body guy that can go up, great body control, make all the catches, make tough catches. But he can take a lot of those coverages that roll to him, a lot of those, you know, number one DBs that go to him and allow Chark to really shine more and Laviskus too, because he's taken so much from them, but he still gets open. He still makes plays. That's when you know you're a number one receiver, when everybody's eye is on you and you still come up big all the time.
Yeah, that's Kyle Pitts last year at Florida, right?
Yes.
Like every time you got down in goal line, it's like, we know where the ball's going. You can't do anything about it. You know, to have somebody like that to add to the offense, and as Mike and I have talked about, look, we would love for it to be a Kyle Pitts, and I know you love the tight end position anyway, but at 25, it's just not happening.
No, you're going to have to go up to go get him.
Yeah, in this year's draft. But you look at the guys who – free agency or the tag window opens today around the league. So there's articles up all over the place talking about what teams should do and who will be up for a tag potentially this year, and receivers that have been talked about as potential free agents, you know, the guys that lead that class, Allen Robinson, Kenny Golladay, Chris Godwin, right? Like, those are the top three guys on virtually every list you
look
at.
All of them really solid.
All of them really good. All of them on a projection I saw on ESPN this morning expected to be tagged.
NFL.com's got Allen Robinson, the second most likely guy to get a tag.
Yeah.
So.
Like,
yeah. Well, we'll trade him Gardner for Allen, then straight up.
Right. Like, if you
straight
were looking
up,
for,
I like that.
Like, if you were looking for that top end, we got the money in free agency to go spend on one of these guys. Well, they have to be available to
you
spend
are
on.
Absolutely right.
Is part of the equation, too. So it becomes, you know, what is plan B to really help that wide receiver group? And it may wind up being that late pick in the first round.
Yeah, and it might be. And I think if you can, you would be able to balance out that wide receiver group if you had a solid tight end. You know, and I'm not trying to knock Eifert or O'Shaughnessy or anybody.
Sure.
That's out there. But if you can have a bona fide guy, a young stud.
A threat.
Yeah, somebody that, you know, puts some pressure on that secondary because it's going to be a safety on them or it's going to be a linebacker on them, and they usually don't cover very well. That would make our receiving game, because it's not just the receivers. You know, the tight end is a receiver too. And if you're not worried about him at all but just, you know, catching little dinks and dunks, then – you know, that's going to set you back as well. You need to have somebody at all those spots that, you know, can strike a little fear in the defense.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back on the other side. Hayes Carline will join the conversation. He'll preview what's coming up on the first episode of the Trevor Cast and get his thoughts on some of the latest news coming out of the stadium downtown. So we'll get into that with David Garrard. If you want to be a part of it, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, or hit us up on any of our Twitter accounts as well. Question of the day asks you, which wide receiver most likely to lead the Jaguars in receiving yards this year? DJ Chark getting all the love right now. But Colin Johnson, Laviska Shenault, or is it someone else yet to be named, yet to be added Jacksonville Jaguar pass catcher? We'll get into all that and continue to talk Jaguar football with you for the next hour and a half here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. The Hammer is back on Jaguars today, and he is a member of the All Hayes duo along with Matt Hayes that will be presenting the Trevor Cast, a 10-episode podcast series that drops its first episode at 1010XL.com this Thursday. And joining us now, our embedded Jaguars reporter from 1010XL, Mr. Hayes Carline. Hello, Hayes. Good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. It is such a pleasure to be with you guys today. I hope you're doing sensational.
Man.
Energy.
That was pretty good.
Energy.
We are. We got David Garrard in here with
Love
us, Hayes. So.
We've got David Garrard. We've got Beautiful Sunshine. We've got Urban Meyer. And we've got Trevor Lawrence.
On the way. He's on the way, Hayes. Nothing's going to derail this train, is it?
Not at all. We're going to be the first team to go 20-0.
20-0. I love it. Hayes, with all your research for this podcast, you know, that I'm going to be dialed in on, I want to know, give me something about Trevor that maybe I don't know. Maybe I watched all the games, but I don't know this little nugget that you have about him.
Well, he has long hair.
Ah!
it's a great question, David. You know, I think the interesting thing so far about Trevor has been everything you hear about him in terms of the down-to-earth, the humble, the leader, you know, all that stuff resonates with everybody that you talk to. David Cutcliffe joined us for this episode, the debut. And one thing that kind of I took away from talking to David Cutcliffe, the Duke head coach who coached Peyton Manning at Tennessee, Eli Manning at Ole Miss, and Daniel Jones at Duke, was his experience with Trevor is he played him as a freshman. And he had some experience with him during the recruiting process. But he said the thing that stood out, you go out in warm-ups and you're always assessing everything when you're out in warm-ups. And he said, I just had no idea how big he was. And not necessarily his height, but just how well-proportioned he was and how his lower body strength really stood out and how much that helped him throwing the football. And then he said he was a lot faster than what I expected. I mean, he's he's not just fast, he's really fast, and talked about his anticipation. So it was cool to hear David Cutcliffe, who's obviously seen it all, talk about, you know, his experience going up against Trevor. So maybe it was that, just, you know, we kind of, you know, me as a novice, you know, I get blown away by watching Trevor and have for the last few years. But I guess for me, it was really cool to hear somebody like David Cutcliffe, who's got such a rich life in football, you know, talk in such glowing terms about Trevor's athleticism.
Hayes, you know, it's funny because we were just talking on the break a minute ago that he showed up for that throwing session looking pretty slim. You know, we're figuring he probably hasn't been doing a whole lot of lifting as he anticipated that shoulder surgery. Is that a concern at all, or am I nitpicking it too much? Because you got to figure that he's not going to get a whole lot of chances to get in the gym as he's rehabbing that shoulder prior to training camp as well.
Yeah, I think he'll certainly play heavier in year two and in year three, but I think he's fine in terms of, you know, his body armor for this year. I mean, I think you see guys like, you know, Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson and, you know, Baker Mayfield's not the biggest guy, you know, and the quarterback gets such protection now that, yeah, I don't, if Trevor gets injured his rookie year, I would be surprised if it's because he was too slight a frame. You know, it could be something like, you know, God forbid what happened to Burrow in Cincinnati, where it's just something you don't see coming. You know, and it's something that no amount of weightlifting would have prevented. But I think he'll play heavier, but I'm not overly concerned about it affecting him. Cause to be honest, I don't know how much Urban Meyer is really going to have him lowering his shoulder by design, and challenging defenders. I think there will be an element of the run. How could there not be with the wheels that Trevor Lawrence has? But I think he will be very well coached, and I think he'll be very wise about the contact that he takes. So I'm not overly concerned about it, but I do think, you know, it's something that's going to improve. I'd be surprised by year two, year three, he's not playing at 6'6", 230.
Hayes, looking forward to hearing the entire conversation with David Cutcliffe coming up on the podcast on Thursday. But was he willing to compare Trevor Lawrence as just a prospect coming out of college to obviously the Manning brothers, who he saw up close and personal as their coach at Tennessee? And then at Ole Miss, he had Daniel Jones most recently, who was obviously a first round pick to the New York Giants. Just how these guys compare as prospects heading into the NFL?
Yeah, I think he thinks Trevor's, you know, right there with him. You know, when he would compare Trevor, Peyton was the player that he kept bringing up the most. He did mention Eli, he mentioned Daniel, but it was more in the context of questions about being the face of a franchise, the work that goes in, you know, things like that. Eli obviously playing in New York. But when it was a football comparison, Cutcliffe almost always took it back to Peyton, which I found to be really interesting. It's a great question, because we didn't specifically say rank Trevor against Peyton, Eli, and Daniel Jones. But as I'm answering your question and thinking about Cutcliffe's answers to questions about Trevor, it usually went back to Peyton. Peyton Manning was talked about much more in the, you know, 16, 17 minute interview than Eli or Daniel Jones. And that was by Cutcliffe's design, because I don't think Matt and I specifically asked him anything about Peyton. So it wasn't like we were steering him towards that. You definitely get a sense talking to Cutcliffe that he feels like Trevor Lawrence is every bit the prospect that Peyton was coming out. But he also mentions, you know, there's so much more that goes into it than just being a great player and a great person. You know, he was, you know, adamant that you've got to roll the dice. You've got to have the right system fit. You know, the quarterback has to jive with the coach and the GM and his teammates. And, you know, Cutcliffe was very effusive in his praise about Urban. He thinks Urban will get everybody in the organization aligned. But his point was there's so many X factors that go into it beyond that the guy can really play football. So, you know, so that was really interesting. And he talked about, you know, the challenge Trevor will face in terms of, you know, always thirsting for knowledge when it comes to the game of football. You know, he said, you know, Peyton in year 18 was still learning and still, you know, still yearning to learn as much as he could. And that's something that, you know, separates the good from the great.
Hayes, I want to circle back to the shoulder injury. What I never heard what happened to him. Was that something that happened in the playoff game, or would it linger all year? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know that they've specifically said it. The impression that I've gotten is that it's been more just wear and tear than maybe a specific hit that did it that they can pinpoint. Maybe as we get to know Trevor, you know, he'll kind of shed some light on that. But the vibe that I get is that it was probably more of just the, you know, consistent kind of contact it was taking. So we'll see, but it's been great. You know, he's now a week removed from it. You know, he's posting on Instagram all the time, you know, all the fun he's having with his fiance Marissa and Laguna. So it seems like he's, you know, well on his way. I mean, he was even, you know, posting, I think the afternoon after his surgery. So, you know, so it seems like it's going well so far, and, you know, hopefully will be something that, again, I'll be very curious to see how much contact he takes deliberately in the NFL and how much Urban Meyer wants him to take. Cause I don't think it'll be anything. We always remember, you know, Tim Tebow and sure. Urban Meyer at Florida and Tebow being this battering ram. I don't think you're going to see that with Trevor Lawrence here. I certainly think they'll encourage and they will have some things that are made for him to run. But I think it will be very much a get what you can get and get down, unless it's a, you know, a time in the game where you just have no choice and you've got to try and, you know, get yards after contact to keep the drive going.
Hayes Carline here with us, part of the All Hayes team with Matt Hayes. The Trevor Cast begins this Thursday, a 10 episode podcast series, one episode a week that'll come out. I thought you should have called it Trevor Vision and try to capitalize on the WandaVision popularity, but that's just me. Yeah, nobody asked me.
What a great
me,
show. I would have loved that. I kind of got to that show late. I'm caught up now.
But, oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, I love that show.
It's amazing. Awesome. Somebody asked me, a friend of mine asked me on Saturday, have you watched WandaVision? I thought they meant this week's episode.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, what, are you kidding me? Have I watched it? Yes, I've watched it. Every episode multiple times. Hayes, just give us a little idea for folks. Like, okay, it's a podcast series. Well, what you guys are looking to look into, I guess, every different possible aspect of what brought Trevor Lawrence to this point, right? Just kind of give us the nutshell of what this is going to entail.
Yeah, well, Matt and I are sort of breaking it up. It's a 10-episode podcast, so we're each, you know, trying. Matt's kind of taking care of the first half because his expertise in college football is more aligned with Trevor's past. So Matt did a great job of getting David Cutcliffe. We've talked to Darian Rencher, who's one of Trevor's best friends. He's a Clemson running back. Matt did a great job of setting that up. And then in the second half, and Matt's also talked to Mac Brown, the North Carolina coach. So that'll be awesome when we get to hear that. And you know, and then in the back half, I sort of focus on being, you know, covering the Jaguars. More of his present and his future moving forward. So, you know, we're looking forward to talking to Trevor. Hopefully, Trevor's agent, Kyle Strongen, will join us. But yeah, we want to get everything about Trevor from him himself, but also, you know, his coaches and his future coaches. So hopefully, you know, the Jaguars will help us with, you know, with getting Jaguar coaches and players to kind of talk about them as well as we get a little closer. The podcast, the final episode is April 29th. So obviously there's still, even though Trevor's done with the draft process, you know, there's still the Jaguars are still kind of going through what they want to do in terms of, you know, when they want to let everybody kind of know that he's the pick. And I would anticipate that happening closer to mid-April than now. So hopefully as it gets a little closer to the final episode, you know, it'll be a little looser, and we'll get a little bit more from hopefully Urban Meyer or Daryl Bevel, and like to talk to DJ Chark. Chase On went against him. So, you know, kind of get a sense of where his future is going as well.
The first major roster decision is coming for Urban Meyer with Cam Robinson and what they will do, long-term extension, franchise tag, let him hit free agency. How do you think it'll play out, Hayes?
Yeah, it's I love these debates because it's really a 50-50, and at least I think. I think there's a compelling argument to be made either way. I would try and sign him to a multi-year contract. Now, that goes with saying that Cam Robinson would be open to that. So I have to believe he would be. But my fear with the tag is, for one, I don't think he's played up to being a franchise tag player. And with the transition tag, the projections seem to indicate it's not going to save that much. It's only about a $1.5 million difference. So plus you lose control of the negotiation because another club can strike a deal with Cam that the Jaguars would then have to elect to match. So I think the best thing for the Jags would to just be sign Cam Robinson to a multi-year extension. You look at the projections, like SpotRack has it at like $11.3 million a year. I think Cam Robinson still has his best football ahead of him. I think when you look at the number of quarterbacks he's blocked for, the number of offensive coordinators he's worked under, and the fact that he's 25 with 50 career starts when you count the playoff games, I think there's a lot to like about Cam Robinson, and a lot that illustrates that there's a chance that he could still have his best football ahead of him. I think he does. That's sort of the first question I think Urban Meyer has to answer, and it helps that George Warhoff is back because certainly he's going to provide a lot of guidance in that direction with what he thinks about Cam Robinson. But I just feel like if you tag Cam Robinson, it's probably his last year here. I just think it's hard. Once you start tagging a guy, I think it's hard to ultimately enter into a long-term arrangement if the player is good. And if they tag Cam Robinson, he has a good year, which I think he will, then it gets, I think, all the leverage shifts to Cam Robinson. So I, if I'm the Jaguars, I would bet on Cam Robinson now and thinking that it's a bet you're going to win and, you know, once you get to the end of this year when Cam Robinson's delivered his, you know, best season of his career.
By the way, Pro Football Focus projects he'll sign a one-year, $2 million fully guaranteed contract. I think it's insane. I mean, I really do. I just don't get that. I mean, bad offensive linemen get way more money than that.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's great, but I think he's certainly going to get a lot more money than that if he were on the open market. One last one for you, Hayes. As seeing reports this morning, the Jaguars have declined the team option on Tyler Eifert, which is going to give them another $5 million plus in cap space. They already lead the league in cap space. What is the solution at tight end? Do you think they'll go the free agent route with a Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith? They'll try to go the draft route or maybe a combination of the two?
Yeah, I think it's probably you got to look at free agency first because that's a position where there actually might be some talent. And, you know, that's sort of the game we have to play every year is what will the pool of talent really look like once all the tags are applied and we actually get to March 17th when the new league year opens. And, you know, tight end's a spot where Henry may not hit the market, but I do think that you'll see Jonnu Smith, Gerald Everett, Jared Cook. I think those are all safe bets. And, yeah, I would think it's a veteran tight end add and then probably a fairly high draft pick. I would be fine with them moving up for Kyle Pitts, but he'd have to get to probably 12 before you could realistically do it, moving up from 25. But, you know, that would certainly be an option. But again, that's a hard one to pull off because you have to have a player fall pretty significantly when you see that, you know, some people believe he might go, you know, fifth or sixth overall. But he plays at a position where, you know, those guys do sometimes fall a little further than you think. So I wouldn't totally discount trading up for Kyle Pitts. But yeah, I think it's a veteran tight end. And then you're probably using, I would think, one of those picks that you have in the first 65, you know, to add another tight end to the room. So It's a very weak position on the roster, and Eifert could still return. I don't know what Urban thinks of him specifically, but you know, if Eifert likes it here, you know, maybe they circle back to him, you know, once the market kind of opens and he's sort of in that second wave and they're able to get him back here. So I think it's going to require a veteran and a fairly high draft pick. I just don't see how at this point they can count on Josh Oliver at all. Although that would be an incredible story if all of a sudden, you know, Josh yeah. Oliver in his third year was finally healthy and really, really was able to shine in Urban Meyer's system.
All right. Well, you can catch Hayes Carlion and Matt Hayes combining to team up for the Trevor Cast first episode featuring David Cutcliffe comes out this Thursday. You can check them all out in the on-demand section on 1010XL.com. Hayes, we know you're going to do a terrific job with it. We appreciate it. And as part of that, we're going to be recapping and previewing various podcast episodes as Hayes stops by every Tuesday for the next 10 weeks going forward. It's a good thing, I guess, that the final episode comes out on April 29th, just in case we need to do like the Wilson cast or something like that. You know, you just want to get it in. Let's get the whole thing done.
Mike, go home, man.
I'm kidding. I should leave. I should leave now. All right. Hayes Carlion with the Frangie Show this afternoon and on Twitter at his name, Carlyon, just like it sounds. Hayes, thanks for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, gentlemen. Take care.
All right. There he goes. Hayes Carlion. I shouldn't have even said it. I know better. I shouldn't throw that bad juju out there, E, but that's my fault. All right, there you go. Appreciate Hayes stopping by. I got a bunch of questions for you, Dave, on the text line. So when we come back, we'll have this date in football, gems from around the National Football League, and we'll fire some of those questions at David Girardi. You want to get yours in? 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, a few odds and ends for this date. February 23rd, throughout the years, in 1983, Herschel Walker signed a $5 million three-year contract. Well, that was big money at the time, and he did it with the USFL's New Jersey Generals, giving that league some instant credibility. Four birthdays to note today, including Jackie Smith, who was a Hall of Fame tight end, played 15 seasons with the Cardinals after being a 10th round pick by them in 1963. Five-time Pro Bowler, wanted to play one more year. As Tom Landry called him up, said, "Are you in shape? We've had an injury." Yeah, not really. He literally told him he wasn't in shape. Did a few laps around the lake, showed up, didn't catch a pass all season. And then there in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 13, had one gift wrapped to him on 3rd and 3 from about the 10-yard line and just boffed it. Mm. And that's really what he's known for. Despite being a Hall of Fame inductee in 1994, you bring up Jackie Smith, most people say, "Oh, that's the guy who dropped that touchdown in the Super Bowl." He's 81 years old today. Sorry, Jackie. Fred Biletnikoff was born on this date as well in 1943. He is 78 years old. A second-round selection, which was the 11th overall pick by Oakland in the AFL draft in 1965. He made 6 Pro Bowls, was a member of the All-1970s team, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1988. Ed Tootall Jones was the first overall draft pick in 1974. He is 70 today. Played 15 seasons with Dallas. Three-time Pro Bowler, member of the All-1980s team. But he played 5 seasons with the Cowboys. You remember what he retired to do, Dave?
No.
Become a boxer.
Wow.
He took a year off to try boxing. And at 6'9", he had the reach advantage over almost everybody. But then returned to the Cowboys and played 10 more years with the team after that.
What?
Crazy, right? I mean, he played 5 years, decided to be a boxer for a year, and then played 10 more seasons in the National Football League. And then finally, happy 34th to Sendarek Marks, one of our favorite former Jaguars, second-round pick by Tennessee. We won't hold it against him in 2009. He had 16 of his 19 career sacks in his 4 years here as a Jaguar, and that's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
4-time Pro Bowl and 2012 first-team All-Pro guard Mike Iupati is retiring from the NFL after 11 seasons in the league. Iupati announced his decision in an interview with the Spokesman Review, saying, quote, "My body was telling me it was time to close the door," end quote. the Philadelphia Eagles have officially released wide receiver DeSean Jackson and will reportedly release wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey when the new league year begins. The Pittsburgh Steelers have restructured the contract of defensive lineman Cam Hayward, converting his roster bonus into a signing bonus. Hayward will still make the $10.5 million he was already scheduled to make this season, but the move does save the Steelers about $7 million on their salary cap this year. Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin has reportedly been recently diagnosed with COVID-19, and he is in good health. Sources confirm the diagnosis to ESPN, but the Steelers cannot confirm it, but did say the members of the coaching staff and personnel were sent home last week after a couple positive tests came up in routine testing in the building. Las Vegas Raiders cornerback Kamaz Sivarand was arrested on Saturday after a street racing incident in Houston, according to police. Tennessee Titans 2020 first-round pick Isaiah Wilson, in a since-deleted tweet, said on Monday night that he is done with football as a Titan. Titans general manager John Robinson said last week that Wilson has to make a decision about whether or not he is willing to put in the work necessary to play pro football last week during a video conference with the media. Wilson played just 4 snaps in his rookie year.
I don't get it, man. Just show up and fake it. I mean, yeah, like you're not ever going to get that money in any other field the rest of your life, likely, you know?
Which kid is this?
Isaiah Wilson, who was, you know, the
Clemson?
Georgia.
Oh,
offensive guard, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, fake it till you make it.
They, at least, right, I mean, they're going to pay you a few million bucks if you just show up and just go through the motions, at least. I just don't get it. I'm done with football as a Titan. Oh, that's going to make you much more attractive to all the other teams out there. So, Dave, got this one for you on the text line. Considering you've played in a backfield with both Maurice Jones-Drew and Fred Taylor and saw the impact that that two-headed rushing game could have, do you think it'd be more beneficial for this team to add another good running back or to add receivers for Lawrence, and what would be the primary benefit to each?
Yeah, I like the idea of having two good backs. I mean, just look at the Tampa Bay Bucks. I mean, when one guy is, you know, kind of getting yards, and but maybe you're wearing him down a little bit, let's bring the same exact guy in and with fresher legs, and that can still take a lot of contact and get those yards after, you know, the first contact. So I like that idea. And I think you can get that kind of guy, you know, third, fourth round, something like
that. Yeah, a little bit late. Right. I think this team's got so many needs. The
Absolutely.
Idea that they're going to spend a super high pick. Because some people have suggested, like, if Travis Etienne out of Clemson were available with that 25th pick or at the top of the second round, seems a little rich.
I wouldn't even go that high.
Yeah.
Because you've already got James Robinson. You're trying to bring in somebody that can compliment him, not somebody that's going to get you another 1,000 yards. It'd be nice to find another James Robinson later in the draft, but you just want somebody that can come in, can spell him, but pick up big yards too at the same time. And getting a receiver, you just want to be able to have Trevor feel super comfortable out there. Well, that starts with the offensive line, but if you have guys that are playmakers, guys that you can get the ball in their hands and they can do so much more, not – it feels like you're trying to squeeze, what is it, juice out of an onion or something like that. You don't want the game to feel that way to them. You want to make them think, well, if I just get a couple of completions here, you know, they'll take it to the house for me. I can just walk over to the sideline and sit down, you know. So that's the reason why you want to have more stud receivers at your disposal, because when they're taking this guy away or they've taken two guys away, you still got a third and fourth guy that can still make some great plays for you.
And, oh, by the way, you're not limited to adding just one of those positions.
Yeah.
I mean, with the cap space that they have, and now another $5 million on top with the release of or the not picking up the option of Tyler Eifert.
Just go back to the Tampa example. They didn't just add Leonard Fournette.
No, exactly.
They added Leonard Fournette to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski.
And some
they went and got Antonio Brown. You've got like the best three, and you got Miller over there. And that's what you want. You just want a wealth of weapons to be able to pick and choose who's not having a great day today. Well, these two are the guys will ball out for me, you know. And
Evans and Godwin caught 3 passes for 40 yards in the Super Bowl, and they won in a blowout.
Exactly. I mean, and the guy who hadn't made a ton of plays all year, Gronk, he was pretty solid for his age, but, you know, was kind of getting passed over a little bit. And then in the Super Bowl, he turns out to be
monster. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so
just because you got too many weapons, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, no quarterback's ever said, let's send these guys back to college here. All right, a few more minutes with David Garrard on the other side, and then we're going to wrap up. He's got some things to attend to today, so we'll pass along a few more of your questions for him. So stick around for that. 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I really like LaViscus. I think he's so multi-dimensional to be able to hand to in the backfield, to do jet passes, and then he is so strong when he's running the ball. He looks like a running back when he gets the ball in his hand. You love that as a quarterback because you can just throw a 5-yard shallow cross and he turns it into 15-25, you know.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
He looks like a mini beer truck is what he looks like. He is tough to bring down. I mean, Tony and I have said this a few times. We would kind of sit there in the studio and watch and count how many players it took to get him on the ground and how often and like how many touches it would take before they finally get him on the ground because he'd catch like 4 balls.
Yeah.
And they'd be shoving him out of bounds.
Yeah. How often would it be three guys are all over him and just kind of carrying him out of bounds. Yep. He still doesn't go
and
down.
And he's laughing.
You got to have strong legs for that.
Yeah.
And you can tell he does. You know, he has a strong lower body. But that's just great balance and the will to not be taken to the ground. That's what it really boils down to.
And a lot of that, you know, that kind of line him up in the backfield, run him on reverses. Urban Meyer's always had a guy like that, it seems like, in his offense. So hopefully he can
utilize him. I think it was you guys. Somebody was comparing him to Percy Harvin or something like that.
He doesn't have the speed
of Percy.
He
doesn't have the wheels like that. Yeah,
but in terms of that style, I think he can be that
absolutely.
Guy.
Absolutely. And it's fun for offensive coordinators and, you know, for Urban as the head coach to be able to have a guy like that, you know, that can get those creative juices, you know, kind of out of you because – they want to be innovative. They want to be creative so that it's not the same humdrum type of scheme, you know, every week.
Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is going to come in as the, we presume, number one overall draft pick. It's a different set of circumstances when you get drafted number one overall. You're being given the keys to the franchise. You came in as a fourth-round pick, earned your way up the ladder, and ultimately took over as a starting quarterback. But somebody on the text line asked, you know, if you could just give – a piece of advice to Trevor Lawrence from your days in the NFL, your experience that would help him, what would that be?
Be the first one in, last one out, which I think that's the kind of guy he is, you know, because that goes a long way with your teammates. And it's a little bit of a showy thing, but it's also a showy thing because you're going to be there getting educated in the film room or, you know, working out in the gym, in the strength and conditioning room to – you know, protect yourself to make sure that you're at your most physical fit possible so that you can be out there and be a guy that's counted on every week and you're not, you know, having lingering injuries and those kind of things. So that would be my advice is to make sure that you're the first guy there all the time and the last guy out because it's important for your teammates and your coaches to see that come out of you, especially when you're the, you know, the franchise guy, the guy that everybody's putting all their hopes and dreams. Because if you do that, if you just do that, then they can't blame you if things don't happen to work out. They're like, man, but he does so much and he's trying so hard.
It wasn't for lack of effort.
It wasn't for lack of effort. So that would be my one advice to him.
Is that the hardest part to figure out, making the transition from college to the pro game, just the physical toll it's going to take on your body and what you have to do to keep yourself prepared week to week? Like, football is football, and that doesn't mean it's not more complicated at the NFL level than the college level, but is the jump, is it bigger mentally or physically coming into the league?
For a quarterback, it's more mental, you know, but there's a lot of physicality that you have to make sure you're prepared for. But the mental is, you know, when I was coming out, the playbook was so different than, you know, our college playbook. And the calls were so long and it was just so much to take in. I always would tell people the problem with young guys coming into the league is there's so much information that they're worried about their own plays and getting the play call right. And
they haven't even thought about what the defense is doing. They're like, okay, did I call that right in the huddle? Okay, yes, okay. And then the ball snap, and you're like, oh, well, what coverage were they in? You know, so that's what that used to be what happened. And I think the way guys are being taught in college now, yeah, they don't have the long play calls, but they're scheming up things very similar to what's going on in the pros. You know, when I was coming out, there was a whole lot of option being run. There's no option in the NFL when you when I got there, you know. So it's a little bit of a reverse option now, but it's becoming more easier for the college guys to acclimate to the college game. Now, it's still hard because everything is much faster, and guys come at you and hit you way more often, you know. So you've got to be strong-willed, strong mind at the quarterback position, and you've got to have your stuff down. When you have that, then you can get out there and play around with the defense. You know, I see what you're doing. The safety's rolling down on me. But this guy is still down here, so that means you've got to be going back. You know, so there's things that you'll see that you're like, yeah, good try, guys. You know, it's like Cam Newton on, you know, down there towards the goal line. He's like, oh, you've been watching film, huh? All right, well, go ahead and try to stop it then.
Yeah, right, because we got a few wrinkles off that,
exactly.
Too. All right, Dave, we know you got to get out of here. You got some stuff to do today, and we appreciate the time. So we'll end with this. You are a fan as well as,
yeah,
a, you know, obviously an alum of the team. For you, Trevor Lawrence coming in, Urban Meyer's coming in, cap space, draft picks, there are a lot of reasons to be excited as a Jaguar fan. But what are your realistic expectations for this team record-wise in 2021?
Yeah, record-wise, you know, I would lean more towards that, trying to achieve to be 8-8. But then by the second year, I would see them competing for the playoffs, you know. And then by the third year, it's just automatic for 7 more years where, you know, just
17, man.
I know it. I love it. That's what I think, you know, could possibly happen, because that first year, you know, you're bringing in a bunch of pieces. You're the guys that are already here, they've got a few years under their belt, but everybody's still pretty young. By that second year, Trevor's coming into a second season. Urban's got a year to kind of get all the wrinkles out, being a head coach in the NFL. I see them really competing that point moving forward. But I see this year, even though I'm saying 8-8, I see a lot of exciting plays happening. I see a fan base really falling in love with a quarterback that they can – count on for hopefully a decade plus.
Oh, man. Just keep our fingers crossed that we'll have fans in the stands this year.
Yeah.
Right? To appreciate that you only get one rookie season, one debut for Trevor Lawrence. I know everyone's going to want to be a part of it as much as possible. Ticket sales have been brisk in anticipation of him being the number one draft pick. So let's hope. We saw a post yesterday at Pro Football Talk that they said the NFL right now is operating on basing – salary cap projections on expecting at least 75% attendance, which would be great.
Yeah.
You know, big step up. 100% would be better.
Yep.
I have a feeling they're going to pack the place out this year. It's going to be very exciting. And, man, 8-8 may not sound like much. That's a huge leap
it is.
For this
yeah.
team
yeah.
to take. I think we would take that.
We're putting the right pieces in place, and we got a bunch more pieces to put in place. But, you know, hopefully they make some of the decisions that everybody else is thinking they're going
to
make.
It's great to have you back. It's been a little bit of a time, but you're always our brother, and the door is always open to you. And if we didn't see you for the next 5 years, it'd be like no time had passed. But let's not make it that long.
And we won't.
We look forward to many more visits with you throughout 2021 and beyond, man.
Absolutely.
All right. Best to your family.
Yeah. Appreciate it, man. You guys have a great rest of the year, and go Jags.
All right, there you go, David Grohl. Let's take a quick break here. Let David get out of here. We'll come back, take a look at the question of the day, some final thoughts on Jaguars football today, on Jaguars today. Still time for you to get in on social media, the text line, or the phone lines if you'd like. With Tony Smith and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Can the Jaguars survive? Garrard's going to run for the first down and a lot more. He is inside the 20. He's down to the 10-yard line.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
What a fun game that was, man. It was one of the great Jaguar games I was privileged enough to attend in person on the road. Just fantastic. They shut that place down twice in the same season, man. Good having David Garrard back in the mix here on Jaguars Today. He has long been a friend of ours and certainly a friend of the program. And 1010XL, and we wish him nothing but the best, and look forward to hearing more from him, getting a quarterback's perspective. You know, that Brunell guy, not going to be able to join us as a coach on the Detroit staff. Maybe we'll get the golf cast. What do you think? That probably wouldn't go over quite as big.
No, probably not.
I saw this, Tony, moments ago. The Washington football team apparently is not going to choose a new name until 2022. According to a statement on the team's official website, we've transitioned from our old name. Now it's time to write a new legacy. The future of Washington football arrives in 2022. So there you go. Get used to the football team. I'm kind of used to it.
Yeah.
Actually, I probably slipped once or twice along the way.
It still looks funny when you look at, like, fantasy rankings or something, and it just says football team.
Yes.
You know?
Or it says, sometimes it'll say, WFT,
yeah.
Which I sometimes get confused with WTF, which means something completely different.
It's pretty close.
Could be.
You know, when talking about Washington football, yeah.
Depending on how you feel about it, I suppose. So anyway, just thought that was interesting. I feel like I've transitioned to that one better than I ever did with the San Diego Chargers to the LA Chargers.
Yeah.
That was a tougher one.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't know. Maybe it's maybe we were all a little averse to their former nickname anyway.
Yeah, it was been out there for a little while.
Like, yeah. You know, and I know I had been trying not to use it for years.
Right.
Like whenever I could avoid using
it. I'll give David Lamb credit. He was the first one I know that refused to say it for years and years and years and years. So
football team still feels a little clumsy, but 2022, yeah. Huh? One more year of football
team.
Well,
that's what it said. I mean, unless it's a typo. But, I just saw that it was somebody picked that up on a site. So I didn't read it directly off the Washington team site, but that's what it looks like, that they're going to hang on to it for another year and then have a big unveiling. Somebody said it was disrespectful to DJ Chark to ask our question of the day today.
Oh.
I don't find it disrespectful. I mean, it's more – I think saying that could LaVisca Chenault be a breakout candidate this year, right? A lot of people, so many people in the fan base are really, really high on Colin Johnson. Now, would I expect Colin Johnson to lead the team in receiving? No.
No.
But 6% of the people have voted that way. And would it be that crazy that any of these guys lead the team in receiving? When you've got a brand new quarterback coming in, you don't know where he's going to build that instant chemistry, right? I mean, Colin Johnson's going to, unless they sign the type of guy we're talking about, you know, an Allen Robinson, a Chris Godwin, no matter how unlikely it is that these guys make it to free agency, if they sign one of them, it's going to change the dynamics of the depth chart, to be sure. You're paying, let's say, A-Rob $18 million a year or something like that. He's going to get 140 targets.
You would think so.
You would. But new quarterback? Not going to be beholden to anybody. Look, whoever makes plays for him is who I would imagine he goes to. Would it be that stunning if they took a receiver at 25? I'm not saying that they would, but if they did, would it be that shocking if that guy was the leading receiver on this football team? I don't think it's out of the question.
No, not anyway. Out of the question. I'd still be a little surprised.
Let's hit him with a 10-10 take.
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Peninsular Pest Control at CritterGetter.com.
You know, it's interesting with the question of the day, which wide receiver will have the most receiving yards for the Jaguars in 2021? We gave you the three that are still on the roster. Only three under contract right now. DJ Chark, Colin Johnson, LaVisca Chenault, or you could vote someone else if you thought a free agent or a rookie, somebody yet to be added to the roster, was going to fill that role as the lead receiver. Forced to choose, I probably would pick DJ Chark, but I'd almost handicap it the way the poll came out. The poll right now, he's sitting on exactly 2/3 of the vote, 66.7%. LaVisca Chenault getting 18.2. Someone else gets 9.5, and Colin Johnson at 5.7% right now. I would probably handicap it like that. Like, as I see it now, as much as I like Allen Robinson or Kenny Golladay or Chris Godwin to join this team, I think the likelihood is that they're all going to get tagged in some variety. And that makes it sticky to imagine that any of them could end up here. Even though there's a lot of talk in Chicago that Allen Robinson could be a tag and trade candidate. They want Gardner? I'll make that deal. But and there's a lot of talk about that, too, that may be a direction that they turn. And I'd probably put it like kind of two-thirds best chance to go to DJ Chark. Mm-hmm. And out of the remaining 33% or so, I'd say it'd probably be 20 to 25% LaVisca Chenault. And then I'd probably go with someone else. I don't think it'll be Colin Johnson, but that's because I think he'll be behind these guys in the pecking order. And that's kind of along the percentages of how it ended up. If I only had one vote, I probably would have had to go with DJ Chark here. But I think if you're spreading out the pie, I think he's probably the odds-on favorite, but I think it's anywhere close to being a mortal lock, and I certainly don't think it's a disrespectful question to DJ Chark. Who'd you vote for?
DJ Chark.
And how likely do you think, how confident are you in that response?
Pretty confident. I think it's unlikely they're adding any of the top-tier free agent wide receivers. Again, it seems like all the three top guys on the market are going to wind up being tagged in some form or fashion. I think that they'll add a couple bodies at wide receiver this offseason. I wouldn't be surprised if they signed kind of a second-tier free agent wide receiver. If they brought in somebody in the draft, even as early as that 25th pick, it wouldn't be all that surprising to me, but I would be surprised if it's not going to be one of the top-tier guys in free agency coming in. I'd be surprised if they bring in anybody that's going to be more productive than DJ Chark in the short term for this football team.
As someone on the text line points out, DJ led the team by 64 yards last year. How is the question disrespectful? It's not. I mean, I don't think it is. Franchise.
It could have been by 364 pretty easily if they could just get the ball to him.
Could have been.
Yeah.
You know, we anticipate Trevor will do a better job with that. Franchise tag window opens today, and it runs through March 9th. Don't know if we'll hear about any tags being applied today, but we might. And NFL.com did a story on who are the players likely to get either the franchise or the transition tag and who are debatable kind of on the fence with that. The no-brainers, and again, this is one person's opinion. This is Greg Rosenthal at NFL.com. Dak Prescott, number one. Allen Robinson's number two, and they say keep an eye on a potential tag and trade. That's been whispered or talked about a decent amount. Says either way, Chicago can't let its best offensive player leave for nothing, no matter how much he and the Bears fans share frustration regarding the team's quarterback situation. Number three is Godwin. Number four, Taylor Moton, who is, you know, right tackle, but, you know, they're, again, using the number 13.6. That's what we saw like a week ago. The latest projection I saw was 14.5. It's 13.6. It makes it even more attractive to franchise tag a guy like Cam Robinson. Kenny Golladay would be fifth. Those are the no-brainers. Right, so your top three receivers are off the board in that scenario. The say yes, in other words, they should, but it's not necessarily a no-brainer. Justin Simmons, who has frequently been coveted by Jaguar fans, the safety out of Denver.
Yeah, like everything you read about Simmons, too, is that he wants to get something long-term worked out with Denver, and that if they're going to apply the franchise tag, it would be to extend the window for them to try to figure that out. But the idea of the Broncos letting Simmons walk seems like a pipe dream at this point.
It said, like with Fangio, their head coach Vic Fangio, the Broncos may prefer to go year to year with Simmons, even if his play has warranted a bigger commitment. So they tagged him last year. So his number is 13.73. Carl Lawson, that's a guy McManus likes as an addition for the Jags. He's in this category. Marcus May, the Jets safety. John Johnson, the Rams safety. Leonard Williams, down at number 10. We'll take him, please. Says, if nothing else, fans of the G-Men have to admit that GM Dave Gettleman was right about Williams. Using the franchise tag on him a year ago, which was a much-criticized move, led to 11.5 sacks in a breakout season. Using the tag again with a raise that would put his one-year earnings near $20 million could still be tough to swallow. Don't be shocked if Williams gets a massive long-term contract before the tag happens.
Yeah, I think he was coming off a one-sack season when they franchised him. And had a big year this year.
And then Aaron Jones. I don't think Aaron Jones. The Packers don't strike me as an organization that's going to pay a running back, especially after they drafted A.J. Dillon in the second round last year. All right, leaning no, Shaquille Griffin of the Seahawks cornerback, Matt Milano, the Bills linebacker, Joe Tooney, the Patriots guard, David Andrews, the Patriots center, Curtis Samuel on here as a candidate, but saying no, Jonnu Smith, a bigger part of the Titans offense than he was given credit for. Smith still unlikely to be tagged after failing to top 500 receiving yards in any of his four seasons. Although, I was listening, was it Jim Wyatt we were talking to about this? Or maybe it was somebody else that I had on. It might have been on SiriusXM, I think it was, where they made the point that Terry McCormick from Titan Insider, that once Taylor Lewan went out, Jonnu's role really changed a lot. And they asked him to be more of a sixth offensive lineman, and his numbers fell off in the second half of the season, which could be to the benefit of a team that's pursuing him, I don't know, say like the Jaguars. Bud Dupree, but coming off a torn ACL, and they don't have the cap room to likely tag him. Trey Hendrickson, another guy McManus mentioned. Marcus Williams, a lot of Jaguar fans have talked about him, both of those guys from the New Orleans Saints. Williams, a safety. Hassan Reddick, you know, he had 12 and a half sacks, but he had that one game where he had like five or six of them.
Yep.
You know? Hunter Henry, way down the list here. Henry was the third highest paid tight end in football on the franchise tag last year. He'd be number two behind Travis Kelce if they tagged him again. A long-term deal appears more likely. He has said, I want to go somewhere. It's not just about money. I want to play with a good quarterback. Well, I would assume that's the case. But some guys, I guess, do just chase whatever money they can get. The most guaranteed money you can give me. I would think he has a good quarterback where he is, but that doesn't mean they can, you know, I would imagine he would think catching passes from Trevor Lawrence wouldn't be the worst situation in the NFL.
Or money can convince you your quarterback is better than he is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm blinded by all this green. unlikely to be tagged, Matt Judon of the Ravens. Could he be a candidate here with the Ravens' influence on the coaching staff? Who knows? This unique Ngakoue fellow I've heard of as well. Let's see. Ngakoue underwhelmed in Minnesota and Baltimore last year, hurting his free agency value. I don't know if he played that one well. Larry Ogunjobi, the Cleveland Browns defensive tackle. Anthony Harris, the Vikings safety. So those are the only ones they even consider to be candidates, no matter how unlikely they are to get them. You know, we've been talking about the possibility of Cam Robinson.
Yes,
it's more because if you don't do it, what is your plan?
Yeah.
Okay, let's throw a bunch of money at Trent Williams. What if someone else does and he goes there? You know, who is your fallback if you don't have him? Some people have brought up Will Richardson. I think most people that I talk to close to the team feel like that ain't the way they're going to go. Like,
no,
he's had his shot.
Did not have a great 2020, at least talking to the people that we've talked to about it. ESPN put up an article this morning as well where they talked to – you know, they have a reporter with each team. Mike DiRocco covers them for the Jaguars for ESPN, and they asked, you know, the player on each of these teams that is most likely to get a franchise tag, or at least is that in the discussion, how do they think it's going to work out? Among the players that we have talked about, you know, from time to time with the Jags potentially maybe targeting in free agency, this is how they fell in that article with ESPN. They had two that we've talked about actually hit free agency. Marcus Williams, the safety out of New Orleans, Carl Lawson, the defensive end out of Cincinnati. They thought Leonard Williams would get a long-term deal done with New York. Marcus May get a long-term deal done with the Jets. Taylor Moton, Allen Robinson, Justin Simmons, Kenny Golladay, Hunter Henry, Chris Godwin, Jonnu Smith. Those reporters all thought that those teams would apply the franchise tag to those guys, which if you're the Jags and you're looking for a free agency tight end help, there it went. You know, like, and it's that quick that it could be just be, okay, Hunter Henry gets tagged, Jonnu Smith gets tagged, what now? To try to help the tight end position, at least in free agency
Pat
in Jacksonville.
Prior youth.
Yeah.
And the draft. I mean, look, that.
It probably would be. It's part of the equation anyway.
I think, absolutely.
But if you were looking for the veteran help, that would, the article kind of bummed me out. It didn't surprise me, given the number that you're talking about with tight end, even with the increase for Hunter Henry. Okay, so you got to pay him close to 12. All right, you know, it's expensive for a tight end, but it's not that expensive for a player in today's league, which is why the Justin Simmons things, it makes sense. The tag number for safety is low enough that you can handle it for 2 years if you feel like you are getting one of the premium safeties 2 years in a row with the franchise tag. So, yeah, close to $12.5-13 million for Simmons. Okay. If that that expands the window for us to get a long-term deal done, I don't see how the Broncos don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Safety doesn't worry me as much. There are a lot of good candidates out there. They're not all going to get tagged.
No, safety, they can find somebody.
I think. And who knows? Maybe they do go the Trevon Moehrig route, as you see him frequently mocked to the Jaguars with that 25th pick or even with the 33rd pick in the NFL draft. Can't get here soon enough. Don't want to wish my life away, but it's going to be exciting when it finally does arrive, still a couple of months away. Hey, by the way, check out the first episode of the Trevor Cast coming up this Thursday as Matt Hayes will speak with David Cutcliffe about Trevor Lawrence monitoring his progress throughout his high school and collegiate career and what he expects out of him in the pros. It's a 10-podcast series that will begin this Thursday, and a new episode will come out every Thursday at 1010XL.com, featuring either or both of Matt Hayes and Hayes Carline on the interviews. And we appreciate Hayes stopping by today. He'll be a regular part of the Tuesday shows right up from now through the draft. We certainly are glad to welcome back David Garrard to studio today as well. Tomorrow, John Osier will be in studio with us for the first hour or so. Mike DeRocco will pop in on Thursday. Lance Zierlein from NFL.com as well. Tommy Mack on Friday. So we got a busy rest of the week coming up for you right here as well. That'll pretty much do it for us. XL Primetime coming up on the other side, to definitely plan on sticking around. For Tony Smith, for ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. And thanks to our guests and all you listeners out there again, once again today. This has been Jaguars Today. Back again tomorrow from 10 to noon on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville.
I appreciate it. Y'all have a great night.